he knows how to kind of be cool. Like, there are moments where you're like, Anthony Mackie's cool. And then you see them faces he makes and the weird stuff he says. And you're like, this nigga ain't cool.
He ain't cool, man. His shoulders are too sharp. Back is, yeah. Like, what's going on with you, bro? And, like, you doing roles that, like, yeah, 8 Mile. 8 Mile was the one that was just, like, he was on my, he was on my radar since I was like, something wrong with this nigga, man.
Yeah, I don't trust Anthony Mackie, and I don't trust nobody who trusts Anthony Mackie. Facts.
The government growing babies. Microchips in your anus. All koala bears are racist. The ozone layer owes me money. Martians invented turkey stuff.
Yep. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another phenomenal episode of My Mama Told Me, the podcast where we dive deep into the pockets of black conspiracy theories, and we finally work to prove that Mahershala Ali will never be Blade until he's ready to stop paying his taxes. Blade don't pay no taxes, Mahershala. Fuck all them prayers 5 times a day. You need to be skipping taxes 5 times a day, as far as I'm concerned. That's the way it's got to go if you want to be the next Blade, the next Daywalker, Mahershala Ali. I'm your host, Langston Kerman, attacking decent people as always, good God-fearing men. I'm coming for their throats unnecessarily. It's how I behave. It's the way I am every week. For you all to keep pretending like you're shocked is really on you. You're the idiots at this point, if this is the way that you've interpreted things. You know who's not an idiot. You know who's not a fool. Who doesn't fall for my shenanigans every week the way you dummies do is my guest today. He's phenomenal. One of my favorite comedians, one of my favorite people to just chop it up with whenever we're in the same place. He's so funny. You've seen his half hour on Comedy Central. You've seen him perform on 2 Dope Queens on HBO. He's been in all the stuff. He's been on almost every HBO show for like 2 to 3 minutes. He broke up that goddamn Succession family. They were a good white family until he got involved. He's so funny. You're going to love him. Please give it up for my guest, Mr. Nori David.
Hey, gang, 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 Langston. What's up, baby?
What up, dog?
Happy to be here.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling good, man. That's right, man. That Hershaw, you got can't pay your taxes, my nigga. Like, you got to, like, that's why they taking their time on that movie.
Yeah.
He's too much of an upright citizen, man. It's like,
they need him to go a couple years without taxes being paid. Yeah.
Blade's a nigga, dog. Like, Blade ain't no black man.
Nah.
We need that's our only nigga superhero. Like, yeah, he out here killing vampires and shit. Not giving
a
fuck.
Especially after that Falcon Winter Soldier shit, where like Falcon was truly coming as close to cooning as you possibly can.
Wow, you just brought me back. Bro, I have like, I had this bit, I started it, I wrote a notepad, I didn't bring it back. I really feel like Anthony Mackie was created by Hollywood. He was manufactured, like ever since that shit with 8 Mile, my nigga, like he's not a rapper, but we had so many rappers during that time. And like Jay-Z could have walked in, Nas could have walked in, but no, we had Anthony fucking Mackie.
Yeah.
Sent him from the Hollywood machine, like constructed. Like he was built. He was like, he's a black Ken doll. And then if you ever heard him talk, you're like, yo, who is this nigga? Like, where's he from? Like,
he's so weird. And then he's, because he's from New Orleans, so he should be like cool. You know what I mean? He should like, be look, fucking cool.
Like Wheezy or something. Like, yeah.
If you trust Anthony Mackie, I'ma shoot you. Classic future line.
Can't trust him. Shoot him.
Speaking of shooting, you came to us with a, ooh, this is an edgy conspiracy theory. This is one that it's dealing in the now in a way that is going to be dangerous conversation. But you know what? I'm a bad boy. Yep. And there's a lot of puns flying around already. But you said, and this is a fun one, you said, my mama told me.
Puffy killed the notorious B.I.G.
Yeah, Langston, I will proudly stand on my hill, and I will not die unless Puff is by. If Puff is by, and I got a platinum album, I'm definitely going to get hit with a...
Fair enough.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, of course. You want me to break it down? What are we going to do? What do you want to do?
I would love... You're telling me you already believe it. You're in it. I want to know why. I want to know where all of this shit... Break it down.
All right. So Ready to Die came out, and then Life After Death. I mean, it's right there in the album. Going back to Cali. In the audio skit, Puff is waking up Biggie, and Biggie just like, he just waking up like, yo, I'm up. I'm like, Puff, yo, we got flight to LA. Like, he's so urgent to get him on this flight. Whereas like, any real nigga, just let a nigga sleep. Like, there's so many other times of flights to go. There's no importance to go back to Cali, but Puff insisted. Like, yeah, Big, yeah. Big, get up. He's like, I'm up, up there. Oh, Big, Cali. He said, well, we going Cali? See, now Biggie didn't even know. He even know he was going to Cali. But for the ride on, they're like, yeah, nigga, I got this flight for you. You gonna die. I mean, you gonna go to Cali. He's like, wait, what? Like, all right, Cali. And then he go into the song. So that's evidence number one right there. Like, they snitched on themselves right there.
To your point, there's something really interesting in the fact that these multimillionaires are so concerned. One in particular is so concerned with the possibility of missing a flight and having to pay a change fee.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
you've got the money, Puff Daddy. You can afford to miss a flight because this man was tired from
exactly.
The night before.
And I'm feeling it during that time. I guess, all right, we're not private jet Puff yet. I guess we rented that video and the Hypnotized, and then we had to give it back, right? So, okay. Right. So, but yeah, like, if you, I don't know, I just don't ever seen or felt a nigga being so urgent, you get on this flight. Like, niggas don't wake niggas up to get on a flight. That's wild to me. That's wild. Like, why did Puff want him to get on that flight so bad? Like, Lace, if we have a safe flight together, we going somewhere, and then you not at the gate, I'ma text you, be like, all right, boom, and then you ain't make it. Like, damn, all right, I guess he'll get on the next one. I'm not gonna be like, yo, Lace, get up. Come on, because I need you to get there, and then, you know, we get dressed, and then there's going to be the boxing thing, because I can't have you late, because if you late, then you're going to miss the boxing show, you're going to miss that show, and then you're not going to be in the car at the same time that I need you to get to at that light. Yeah. And
well, the boxing was Pac. That was Pac.
No, but wasn't Biggie going somewhere though?
Biggie was coming from. And this is us jumping a little ahead, but Biggie was going to a Quincy Jones party. They went to a Quincy Jones party that night that was located at what is now, and maybe it was back then, the Automobile Museum in Los Angeles on basically Wilshire and Fairfax. That's where they were hanging out that evening.
Okay, so I'm mixing up my.
Dead niggas.
Dead niggas, yeah. Of the scenes of the car. But Biggie was in that one. So I know that, like, he was in it. But it wasn't the boxing. Yeah, that was Pac. You're correct.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. So, yeah. So the skit tells it. And the other one is, right after that happened, years later, there's always this, you know, Life After Death, Ready to Die, remastered. Yep. And so Bad Boy was able to get much more money from his death than him being alive, I believe.
Yes.
Like, he, and then, like, you could just hear Puff as he raps. I mean, he wants to beat him so bad. I feel like there's this fetishizing thing of, like, I love you so much. Like, some Selena shit. Like, I feel like this is our Black Selena. Like, he's our fan. Like, he would write his raps. And I'm just talking about the energy I felt from the videos, bro. This might sound crazy, but, like, I just felt like he's that Selena shit. Like, I love him and all this shit. And then it's just like, yo, you'll make more money with him gone and just leave his history right there after Life After Death. And then that's it, bro. I really feel like he was on it, man. I really feel like I think
that remains one of the most interesting arguments that people make in relation to Puff doing the thing is the fact that this dude who otherwise is not particularly talented.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We're not talking about a dude who, like, he's a mogul, sure, but what the fuck does that actually mean when you break it all down?
We're talking about this mogul narcissist, man. He's a narcissist. Like, even right now, like, he is on, like, he's starting beef with Jermaine Dupri. Like, leave that nigga alone. Like, dog, like, what are we doing? But that's Puff. Where, like, and I be feeling bad for his kids, too, because, like, you're not going to outshine Puff. Puff going Puff. And you can feel that where he's getting to that age, like, nah, nigga, I'm still here. Bad boy all day. Ma. It's like, bro, you come on, man. You had your time. You're great.
Relax. Relax.
But no, I can't relax. Nigga, I can't stop. Bad boy. He says it. I can't stop. Like, he's been saying that. And he's literally not stopping. And I feel like he was never going to ever outshine Big. Ever.
Right.
And Big wrote his lyrics and stuff like that. He was always going to be under Big shadow. So it was perfect for him to come out in that white and dance. I mean, I don't know the day of this conspiracy happened, but it was just like, it started clicking years later. I mean, I did feel sad, like, when Biggie died, when Puff was in white, danced at the MTV Music Awards, all that, And then later on, you're like, wait a minute.
So, okay, you're getting to something, I think, really important here in terms of your, I guess, tracking your mm-hmm. memory of this, your experience in this.
Yeah.
You're saying that it wasn't an immediate conspiracy theory that lived with you. You watched this happen, you felt sad. You're from New York.
Yeah.
So I have to assume Biggie was a lot. It meant something to you in a substantial way.
Yeah, you got Jay-Z, DMX for me, and then, you know, Big. Yeah.
Right. So you've got this iconic person who dies, and you're not going like, Puff Daddy did that shit.
No, that is not the twist in the beginning. No, the twist comes later. But like, you know, the typical mystery movie shit, like, you never expect who it's going to be. And you're like, it was your man's right behind you the whole time, nigga. It came later to me, you know, where you and your homies, you and your niggas just chopping it up. And then me and my boy kept like playing that skit over, because I think it was 2014 when I was about to do my first album, Home Game. And I was just listening to like mad hip hop skits, and then that one, and we used to always reenact it. Like, yo, I'd be like, yo, oh, get up, nigga, get up. You gotta go to Cali, I gotta kill you, nigga. And then like,
I gotta kill you, nigga.
And then he said,
I'm hurrying.
Yeah, all right, hurry. Wait, what? Nah, I'm asleep, nigga. I'm asleep.
Nah,
like, we joking, just like how me and you and joking. And I think it carried into the barbershop, but like, he was also, my homie was strong on the opinion also. And I was just like, yeah, that shit clicked, bro. And I was just like, yeah, this nigga killed this nigga. Then I just kept watching Puff's moves after that, and, you know, his narcissistic behavior. And I'm like, I mean, how you gonna find somebody that's not, like, they never found no killer. Same thing with Tupac. Still to this day, they're still doing movies about it. There was one with Forrest Whitaker and Johnny Depp. That was one.
Yeah.
I tried to watch that on the plane. I was just like, what is this? Langston, what?
Well, what it is you getting two stars in the twilight of their careers attempting to revitalize their image in Hollywood for different reasons.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp has burned quite a few bridges, and Forrest Whitaker never fixed that eyeball. And
hilarious.
I guess they both felt like they needed to do something different in whatever this was.
I'm more than the Godfather of Harlem. I could do this still. And Holly was like, nah, man. We got a Biggie story for you. You want Biggie, Tupac story? Yeah, I didn't finish the film, but...
Good for you.
Yeah, I couldn't... Like, it was just another unnecessary angle. And, so I feel like, shit, the killer's right there, man. I mean, Puff got Mary J. Blige, but he never had... Like, Mary was never a threat to him. I don't know.
Right.
You know, and, you know, we're stand-up, so we always feel that energy from the OGs of, like, that whole... Black male, only one Highlander energy. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that type of shit. That's why I always fuck with you and like Sam and everybody else. Like, cause I always felt like, hey, we in this together. We having fun. And then you go to them niggas like, shit, nigga, you know, I'll cut your goddamn throat, nigga.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I do think that's something worth articulating, I guess, to our audience a little bit, that like, there is a culture, particularly, I'd say it's in comedy in general, but I think Black comics, because there are fewer of us, we feel it probably more prevalently than even our white counterparts do, of just like, you think that this is a community, you think you're building and growing next to people, and there truly are motherfuckers out there who want to see your downfall
and make
it known at every turn.
Yes, given pun intended, that pray for my downfall. That's right there on Life After Death.
Yeah.
Biggie right there. Yeah, so I won't name names. I guess I'll be nice today because I love naming names. I don't give a fuck. But there's multiple stories of older comics blowing up the stage and then introducing the next comic like, hey, nigga, and then letting them go.
Yeah.
And that is, And that's been and I'm talking like Kings of Comedy Def Jam days. And, yes. You know, it still happens to this day, the comics. And so to give your audience some backstory, like, there's that energy of, like, who's this little nigga coming? Because they're going to take everything that's supposed to be mine.
One of my, you know, Boston is where I cut my teeth, at least for a few years in comedy. I don't like to give Boston very much credit, but I did spend some time there doing comedy. And one of the, there's not a lot of black rooms in Boston. It's just a white city. So yep. That means that comedy tends to be pretty white out there. But there is one black room in particular that everybody tries to play or figures out whatever. And the first time I went down there, I've been doing comedy for years at this point. Mm-hmm. Went down there, introduced myself to the dude who runs the room. I go, yo, I've heard a lot about this place. I want to get up. What can I do? He's like, man, I'll put you up tonight. You know, he's grilling me. He's doing the whole thing. But yep. He's making it seem like I'll take care of you. You know, we'll see what you got, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then introduced me after like 20 minutes of hosting where it was just him telling people to shut the fuck up. Like, not in a fun, silly way, but just like bombing and scolding motherfuckers.
Yep.
But then introduced me as your first comic has never done comedy before.
Wow.
Let's see what there you can do.
Ooh.
And then and not even my name correctly. Yep. You know, he didn't say my name correctly.
Exactly. Give the links to Merman. So now you got niggas that always like, Merman? What the fuck is Merman, nigga? Like, setting you up to fail. Like, people understand that. We try to describe that energy. You're like, why y'all doing me like this? Like, what did I do to y'all niggas? Like, what? Who hurt y'all, fam? And like, I heard a story. But go ahead, continue. I got to hear this.
No, I mean, that's pretty much it. It's not one of those things where it's like, I showed up with a disrespectful energy.
Yeah.
I showed up an hour earlier. I shook your hand. I had a drink with you. You know what I mean? We did the thing.
I bought snacks. Does anybody want a snack? Like, niggas is like, fuck this. Like, and they probably like try to get on your skin color and shit. Like, it's that type of energy, bro. It's like, I can't. So, yeah. So, I feel that energy from Puff. I always felt that, even like the whole Source Awards, you know, you have those are the two titans, Puff and Biggie, going against Suge and Pac right there. Like, that was just the clash of the titans. And, you know, we're talking 90s, so I think I'm in Family Matters. This is all later when I'm like, oh, look at the Source magazine I'm reading, maybe, right. and looking at YouTube and stuff and hearing from like niggas in the barbershop. But like, yeah, I was like part of Family Matters, so I didn't know. But but again, like, you just start investigating, like, you just become this small little detective, like, okay, clock that. You start clocking things. So I was clocking his energy. And then three years, there was a remastered version of Biggie's album.
If it wasn't a remaster, it was like Puff doing remixes where he was like using old Biggie verses and throwing them on with new people. And it's like, you getting a lot of money here, big man.
So much. You hear me? So much. It's the same thing where it's happening right now, like where whoever's in charge of Pop Smoke, you know, like putting his verses on stuff. I'm like, and I love that tattoo that, what's his name? You know what I'm talking about, like the multiple talented nigga, Silk Sonic.
Silk
Sonic, him.
Anderson Paak.
Anderson Paak, thank you, man. Yes, like where he was like, if I die, leave my shit alone, right? Like, something like that. Like, I'm like that too. Like, I always record every set. I'm like, just leave my jokes there. Don't new Norrie Davis. And I'm like, this nigga died 5 years ago. Why he got another hour coming out? I'm like, somebody on my side, Greedy, please get them. You have permission to come to the house. Like, yeah, I'm going to need y'all to stop this.
It's just going to be clips of you being like, so where the ladies at? We got any birthdays in the house? Where the ladies at?
Man, women with their toes, right? Don't they have their toes out? Shit. Yeah. Please, I give you permission on this podcast to shut that down. You can play it for whoever in my family or friends. Get my shit. But so Puff is narcissistic energy, and that audio's get of Big not waking up and like about to miss his flight. Should just let a nigga miss his flight. Maybe it'd be a different time. Maybe he would miss his quote unquote death, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's basically where I stand at, emotional of that. Oh yeah, and the albums. And I think, yeah, so, yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, and, mm-hmm. and I'll ask you this before we go into break.
Okay.
You're saying you definitively sort of landed on this. Has there ever been anything that you feel like Puff has done in the time since you sort of landed on this theory that besides the making the money over and over again off of Biggie's mm-hmm. name, that has felt like a clue, you know what I mean? Like a Mr. Policeman, the clues were all there kind of energy that yeah. that he's left behind.
I think what probably just comes to my head right now, like the typical anything his mom needs, I got you, but it still feels cold. It's kind of like, you know, that cold killer shaking your mom's hand, like, you know, I got you, Miss Wilder,
yeah.
everything you need. And, yep. you know, you look at his hand, it got big blood on it. I don't know. I felt that energy. I felt like, because every time Big Mom talks in the interview, she's like, you know, Puff, like, she doesn't really get on with, like, what Puff is doing for her. But, you know, she's just doing what she's supposed to do, like, just talk about her son and his legacy. And that, so that kind of gave me a little trigger of, like, I don't know, man. I don't feel the genuine love that he has for Big's mom. Or who am I to question it? But I'm just saying, like, the energy, I clocked as a detective, I would get into it.
I will say that sort of to that point, one of the things that I've always clocked with the way that people have talked about Big is there's like four or five different dudes who would be like, Big was my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
That was my best friend in the entire world.
Yeah.
And you've never once heard Big say that about any of these dudes.
Yo, man, he was all up in the interviews too. He never talked about the biggest.
Yeah, he was never like, Puff is, he used to say Puff is my man.
Yeah,
That's my man.
Yeah, he put me on. Yes, exactly. Because you're right. Thank you. Yeah, because Big was all about the hustle. He's like, I don't even fuck about rap. Like, and he was hustling then. Puff was like, gave him a way out, you know, and he was like, all right, let's do this shit. Then his mans was like, really, his right hand man was like, Little C's. And Little C's, he's like quiet in interviews. I don't know. There's something there that like, Little C's be looking scared to me in interviews. Like, don't say no shit, bro. Like, chill. Like, whatever, maybe Puff got you on, you know, we're going to do, Puff got him on
again,
payroll,
Lil
something.
Lil C's is a bad boy artist. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's some version of the money that he still is collecting on the couple of songs that he had that he's like, oh man, like I love Big, but I can't starve in my man's memory. Like I gotta do what I gotta do and shut the fuck up.
Cause a nigga gonna be a nigga, dog. You know that shit. Like I can they say that too, and you can see that energy of like, man, a nigga will trade in your mama for $2. Like, he'll trade in his own mama for $2. Like, I heard that and I seen that energy. I grew up with that. I know them homies. Like, that again, that's his, like, same energy. We're like, I gotta stay away from that, man. Like, damn, I'm just trying to see niggas' teeth and smile and let have a good time. Have a good time. Like, I just tell jokes, baby. That's it. Yes.
Damn.
Yeah. All right. Nothing from Kim, though. Nothing from Kim. I think that's
Kim,
all genuine. I feel for
her. She changed her whole face just to make sure we couldn't tell what her reaction was.
Hilarious. Bro, you stupid. I know, I feel so bad for that because that's all Biggie's fault. Because, you know, that's all Biggie's fault. He loved
Kim.
We
didn't say he was a good guy.
Exactly.
Man who was murdered.
Yep. Okay. Go ahead. I'm done.
Okay. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more Nori Davis and more My Mama Told Me. And we are back. Yeah, we're back here with more Nori Davis, more My Mama Told Me. We're still talking about that alleged murderer, Puff Daddy.
alleged
murderer.
Underline italic.
And his relationship to the Notorious B.I.G. Mm-hmm. I think we need to jump into some of this research because
yes.
you've already laid the groundwork for some of the conversation, but I'd love to hear some of your thoughts on the things that I sort of dug up as I would say support of your conspiracy theory.
Really? So, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. None of this is working against you.
Okay. Wow. Say. See, man, niggas feel it, man. You can feel it in the air. Niggas feel it, dog. All right, let's see. I'm ready.
So March 9th, 1997, Biggie is killed in a drive-by shooting. He's in a car leaving a Quincy Jones party following Puff Daddy.
Yep.
This is a fact I actually learned in a Little C's interview. I'm glad you brought him up.
Mm-hmm.
But Little C says that as they're leaving the museum where this party is happening, they pull out. They're following Puff. He's in a separate car.
Mm-hmm.
Puff goes through a light that they don't make.
See?
And while they're sitting at the light, that's when the shooting happens.
Yes.
Four shots into Biggie. The last one is supposedly the one that was fatal.
And Little C's was in the car with Puff, right? Or was C's in the car with Big?
I think C's was in the car with Big.
Like, he was in the back, though.
Yes.
And yeah, because the driver, I mean, it was a hit. He went right for the passenger side where Big was at. And if you ever, if somebody says, follow me.
Yep.
And you see it turn yellow.
Yep.
And that's your man's behind you. You stop. Like, every time that always happened, like, hey, my nigga follow me.
Yeah.
It's yellow. Like, let me stop so we get there together. Not
you don't speed up.
And it's Biggie, bro. Like, it's Biggie. Like, we're not talking about, like, your uncle. Like, that nigga gonna meet me there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nigga, he came to Cali. Do it, you know, Quincy concert, and that album came out, Life After Death, which was like bubbling. But
yep.
I really feel this shit was a hit. Like, I don't know. It was like they were the Martin Luther King and Malcolm of hip hop, where these titans is too, we can't have too much of this control. And that's something like, that's a supremacy, and that's another thing. But yeah, it feels very like in-house of like, nah, man, I'm gonna speed up. And then gonna come back going, what happened?
Oh, what? No.
Oh, yo, no. Shit. Get him. Nigga, what? You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Driver, go around the block real slow.
Yeah, and if you're Biggie, I'm Puff, I'm in the car with you.
Yeah.
Why am I in a different car? Why?
And you guys aren't the president and the vice president?
Yeah. Like, you my mans, right? Like, but even in the interviews, like, Puff put him on and Biggie's just like, you know, he's like in his God element to where he doesn't know he's God. He's just like, he just spitting, man. Like, he's just telling stories. That's just like, again, I feel like it's that Selena moment of like, he is God and he will surpass me and I must take him down.
Yeah.
I must, like, you know, so yeah. Yeah. That whole car shit. Yep. That's another one. I forgot about that. Thank you.
Okay.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
So let's take it a step further, because apparently there was an officer, a detective named Greg Kading, who was assigned to work this case, the murder of Biggie Smalls. For 3 years, he investigated the case, and he personally believes that Puffy is responsible for Biggie's death.
Yeah.
Greg Kading.
Yep.
Some not great white man, I assume, because he's a cop, but still. He believes that Puffy's responsible.
And he's the type of trash white man that doesn't have power to outpower whoever want a big gone. Because white men have like that whole, hey, man, shut all this down. Like right now, like Irving's making a good stand, but that white man didn't pull up on him yet. To where like,
sure.
Look, nigga, remember when you put that hat on stage? All that money is ours. So if either you're gonna get down or lay down. Like, so yes. And I feel like he either got bought out or they fucked up his evidence. And if you have an elite detective have a fucking hunch on Puff, that's it. Thank you for bringing that back too. I forgot about that too. Yes.
Well, let's unpack Greg Kading has to say on this situation. He says, and this is where it gets a little complex in terms of his quote unquote responsibility, as it is, as it were, in relation to Biggie's death.
Mm-hmm.
But he says that Puffy actually paid $1 million to a Crip named Dwayne Keith D was his street name, Davis,
shit,
to kill one of your family members, to kill both Tupac and Suge Knight. He paid Keith D $1 million to have this hit done. Now, Keith D offloaded that responsibility. He offloaded that job onto his nephew, another Crip named Orlando Baby Lane Anderson, to do the shooting instead. But his nephew only managed to kill Tupac.
Shit.
So in leaving, Suge Knight alive.
Yeah.
Suge Knight then, now aware of what's happening,
retaliated.
Hired a blood named Wardell Poochie Faust.
Yeah.
For $13,000. He went from $1 million
to $13K. Wow, niggas can't get shit right with $1 million or $13K. God. But
he only paid $13K to kill Biggie, and apparently 13 was enough.
That's
because
enough.
One of them did the whole job and the other one did not.
Wow. And those guys were ever charged for any of the murders, or they were just like in jail and died or something, or like they just been quiet?
Great question. So now Greg Kading, that officer we were talking about, claims that he actually got a confession out of Keith D.
Mm.
But because the other two alleged murderers were dead by the point that this confession happened, there was no way for him to bring closure to this story. That basically these dudes died well before any accountability could be met, and
murdered.
With only Keith D's word and no other evidence,
it was just hearsay. Come on, dog. So shit, that even makes me go even deeper. Like, of course, Sugar's gonna retaliate off of that. Now, maybe this could be strategic, where Puff wanted this to happen, where he know that's gonna happen. Where it's like, let me get a hit on them. And he probably did not know they were going to miss. But what Crip nigga gets a mill and then passes it down to his nephew?
Yeah,
I guess he didn't want to get his hands dirty. Or, bro, you got a million. Like, this is your job.
That was a weird hang up that I had in the story as well.
Yeah.
It's like, it's $1 million. And if you are the type of motherfucker that kills people, you ain't getting million-dollar checks in other places.
Exactly. Unless he had a conscience and like, I don't want nothing to do with this. Like, is that person alive? Like, I have so many questions, but like, all of it all of it is under the story of a hit. A hit.
Yes.
Right? A hit that Puff is definitely a part of. Yes.
Puffy's responsibility is that he is the original instigator of the violence between these two camps. That although, obviously, you know, if you know anything about the East Coast, West Coast beef, there was violence that happened before where Tupac was shot at the studios where Biggie records. Biggie is there that night. He blames Biggie for what happened. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of violence that happens before this, but none of it is necessarily traceable back to these two camps until, as this officer claims, Puffy decides that he's going to take action.
Same building, different levels. Huge misunderstanding, which majority of all how, like, even when I fought niggas in the hood in Runyon, it was like a misunderstanding. Nigga thought I was talking shit and I was not. And there it is. Now we fighting. It's like nobody's trying to hear nobody out. It's like action. Like, so I kind of do want to plug in like maybe a strategic on Puff. Like, hey, I could knock out two birds, one stone, get the money. But regardless, that's just... Yeah, he's in it, man. He
them hands got a little blood on them.
Definitely look under the fingernails, man. And he gotta live with that. You know what I'm saying? He gotta live with that.
So let's take it a step further, because that's not the only quote unquote officer who says this. There's actually similarly a former FBI agent, Phil Carson, claims that the real target for the shooting the night of Biggie Smalls' death was actually Puff Daddy himself.
Mm.
That they were not attempting to shoot Biggie Smalls. They were attempting to shoot Puff, got the cars mistaken, and that's why Biggie Smalls died.
Wow. Okay.
So then he also claims that when Puffy discovers that this assassination, which was also, as this FBI agent claims, brought on by Suge Knight, when he finds out that this assassination was aimed at him, he gets terrified that the information might come out, and he then pays off a number of LAPD officers to make sure that the case was never properly solved.
Holy shit. See, dog, this is blowing my mind, dog. Wait, let this marinate. Okay. So... Because I can see Puff as the narcissist he is.
Yeah.
Of like, I already know how people going to take this.
Yeah.
And I need to do this MTV fucking awards dance. I can't do the dance. when niggas is in the audience, like, mumbling, like, I don't know, nigga. You paid old cop, nigga. You know, he up there, step by
every I already bought the white suit. Got,
exactly.
What you want?
What you want. So, right? That's so dirty, Langston. Oh, I need a shower. Fuck, bro. Who does that, man? Like, yeah. So he's, so you have somebody who's panicking, racing their tracks. And we talking FBI. Like, we all seen the documentaries of what they did to King. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Right? So they do not fuck around on their tracks of what they're doing. Like the house of Hoover. Fuck. J. Edgar Hoover.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I believe these guys, man. Why would these white guys lie? Why would they have to cover anything up? Like, we're past, we're like 30 years after the whole 60s and racist Hoover. Now, these are like, these are FBI agents like, all right, let's do a job. Let's do our job. Right? Mm. Let me do it the best we can. And yes, to see that cops were paid off, which they not going to hold water on some rich nigga.
Right.
They not going to hold that much water because it probably wasn't that much money. It's like, Puff ain't mafia. This ain't BMF. But this is like, this is bad.
He's offering a lump sum, which is not going to solve their problems for the rest of their lives.
Not at all. It's just like, hey, you buy your wife, you know, a nice dinner or some shit. Or maybe like a car. Like, here, here's a new Ford Explorer.
You heard of Shake Shack?
Yeah.
You going tonight.
Yeah, man. Yo, the new cheesecake just opened up. Take your wife. Oh, man, I just feel so filthy, man. Fuck, bro. Yep. Yeah. So.
So let's take it a step further because we've only been talking about white guys snitching up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
There is, in fact, another person, a former bodyguard of Puffy named Gene Deal.
Here we go.
Who also claims that he heard Puffy say that in a conversation relating to sort of the building violence of the East Coast, West Coast beef, that Puffy says he doesn't give a fuck if Pac dies. He doesn't give a fuck if Big dies. Something has to change.
This is
a direct quote.
Come on, dog. And that's the bodyguard. Them niggas, they lying, they right. Bodyguards are the little flies on the wall that people think they not listening.
Big ass flies, but they little
huge. Exactly, you still, yeah, exactly, bro. My nigga, oh, God. And then it just always brings me to that video that everybody's sharing on Twitter, Instagram of Puff going, I get what I want. I'm a fucking monster. I get what I want. And he got it.
Yeah.
He got it way before that shit. He got it. I don't give a fuck. But yeah, he's a plain narcissist, my nigga. I'm sorry, like. If I go to that party and I meet him, I'll be faking shit, like shake his hand, like whatever. But like, no, matter of fact, I wouldn't. I don't know. I don't think I even want any of that energy. I'm lying. I'm lying.
I don't know, man.
I'm on the back.
I think we're all morally compromised.
Yeah, morals versus money, right? Like, it's like, hey, what hell am I going to stand on? Like, in the spirit of Biggie, or is it just like, you know, we just talking shit on this, we talking on the podcast. Great episode so far. I love this. But yeah, it's, see, now look, I'm questioning my morals right now of like going to that.
Torn.
I'm so torn. But because like, you think about your own career and everything, but then it's also like, nah, man, like there's evil there. Like even when you go to LA, that like, you know, I don't know if you feel this, Langston, like it's that energy of like, I will kill any nigga here to get what I need.
Yeah.
Like, lucky for you, you got a wife, you got your child, you got love. You got a nice love house. Like, if you have that, you're protected. But I feel like single niggas and ladies and anybody, they just like, I will slit. What I got to do?
I'll cut your leg
off,
sir.
You know what I'm saying? To get in this motherfucking door.
This door,
this Hollywood door. And that's why, like, I couldn't really, like, fuck with LA like that to stay live over there. I could feel that energy in the air. Yeah. So, yes. Yes, I don't know what else to say. I mean, we can break down what he said. Like, yes, he doesn't give a fuck. Like I said, like.
So, additionally, and this is not necessarily evidence in relation to Biggie himself, but there is other evidence of Puffy in morally compromised positions. I think we would be doing ourselves a disservice not to talk about the Shine incident,
yes.
Right? Shine is the biggest rapper under Bad Boy, the next Biggie Smalls, as they're sort of like trying to coin him in the early 2000s. And then when they go to, what is it, New York? Club New York.
That's
what
it's
called.
Yeah.
They go to Club New York. They're hanging out. Puffy gets into an, and this is according to Shine, years after he went to prison for basically shooting up a nightclub.
He looks like a politician now, right?
Did
this story come out when, like, when he's a politician stuff, or this is like when he was still like kind of rapping, right?
No, this is post-rapping. This post-rapping, is him just talking to Fat Joe on like some Instagram shit.
Got
he basically says in the interview that the entire incident was mostly instigated by Puff. That Puff had issues with two dudes, two Brooklyn-based dudes who Shine knew to be real motherfuckers named Scar and Nino.
Nigga.
Not good names. No, nigga,
we talking Lion King characters, nigga. What? We talking, that's Scar and the Hyena, nigga. Now, we got real-life versions of them out in Brooklyn. Yeah, they bout that noise. They want the smoke.
And that was Shine's point about these guys. He knew these guys. He was actually cool with these dudes. That he had a relationship with these guys. But Puffy got into it with these guys, presumably over something that he still doesn't exactly know. And then when guns got drawn, Shine pulled out his weapon in self-defense, basically, as he put it, in fear of his own life, and started shooting, not because he was on some gang shit riding for Puff, but more like he truly did not know that he was going to survive that evening.
Shit.
And Puff, as you may know, then after the incident, opted to get a separate lawyer to be tried separately from Shine, to basically separate himself as much as possible from what at nearly days before had been the largest artist on his label.
Bro. We see the, you see the track record. This man is good and like low key sloppy at cleaning up his mess and making it seem and coming out the victim.
Yes.
Signs of a narcissist, my nigga. Like, he's a huge narcissist. I can see it. I know them signs. And he, and like Shine is not one of them. There's other coins that just got thrown into the goddamn well, like G-Dep, you know, RIP, he gone. And like, what happened to his career? Shit, the whole Loon, 112
Black Rob,
all that, man. Like, anybody that signed with him, shit, the Locks had to like almost whoop this nigga ass to get out the contract. The Locks is too, it's too many niggas, so he can't kill the clean that all up.
He's like, all these
let him go. And they Yonkers, they crazy. I can't let them Yonkers niggas, like, let them go. But he probably would have done some grimy ass shit. But oh my god.
Yeah,
yeah. It's, is that the one with Jennifer Lopez too? Like, she got mixed up in with that, right?
J-Lo was hanging out that evening when the incident transpired. Puff grabs her hand, runs her out of the club. It is also what some claim is the initiating incident for their breakup.
That's why J-Lo with Batman. That, she's scared. She with Batman, dog.
She's like, I'm gonna go and stick with these whites.
I'm gonna go with Ben Affleck.
These Dunkin' Donut whites instead of these rat-a-tat-tat blacks, you know?
Rat-a-tat-tat. Bro. Yeah, man. Yeah.
Okay. The last piece of evidence that I'll bring up to you, and this is less evidence and more just sort of a logical progression to some of what may have ultimately landed on Puff's decision to end Biggie Smalls' life. There are some who argue that because of the change that Puffy saw coming in Big's career, as if you're a big fan, you know that after Ready to Die, he more or less had started to transition out of the gangster rap phase in his life. He was less interested in sort of making the same kind of music, making the same kind of moves, being the same kind of hustler, street dude that he was previously, and much more interested in making positive, as close to positive as a nigga from Brooklyn could make at that time. And so Puff theoretically is beginning to see the transition in Biggie Smalls and says that I'm not 100% convinced that this is going to be profitable. It might be more profitable to end his life before he turns into this new God-fearing man, and thus does so and keeps him at the stage that he left off at.
See? Yep. Yeah, man. What, I mean, mic drop. What more can I say, dog? I mean, he's a huge narcissist planner, and he can manipulate his ass off. He manipulate the public and hide his evidence so much to where the public opinion will never be against him, and it hasn't. So now we have, now we, me, you, and everybody, we're conspiracists, black conspiracists. But it's just like, bro, it's in the pudding, baby. It's right there in the pudding. But he even knows that too, that it's so far down the line. Like, yeah, those two guys are dead, so that guy's just hearsay. The security guard, like, he probably can't, he quoted, but, you know, who knows what's happened to him? He probably got beat up or something that night for talking shit. Puff got that reach, man, and he's still on top and remixing Biggie shit. And every goddamn year, anniversary was his birthday, anniversary was his death, huge stream hits, more money in his pocket.
Absolutely. It feels like the same way that cities will literally hire police officers to beat the shit out of black people,
mm-hmm.
and then make a street called Black Lives Matter Avenue.
Oh my God.
And it's like, I don't know, bro. This feels like.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Fuck
you're
that
not exactly taking responsibility for the thing you did.
That's why we're so angry. They never take responsibility. All we get is fucking documentaries and street names and money.
Yeah.
Never, I am sorry for going mm-hmm. in the house of Breonna Taylor, or I'm sorry for even going back to the guy that was about the Lucas Brothers movie. That brother. Come on, help.
God damn it.
Yeah, shit, him.
What the fuck? Fred Hampton.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Fred Hampton. Like, there was never apology. And, you know, this country doesn't even believe in apologies. That was another thing I read up on. They feel like it's a sign of weakness, even when they're fucking wrong.
Yes.
So the only sorry we get, which is not enough to help our emotional scars, is an HBO documentary, which who knows if that money even goes to the family. That goes to production, as me and you are in TV. So we know it's not like, hey, we're going to tell your story. And they're like, all right, well, how much is it? Like, no, we're going to tell your story. And we got a buyer. And the buyer paid the crew that did everything. And then that's it. So,
yeah.
And then, you know, that family gets sold on awareness. The fuck is awareness going to do when it's already a wrap? It's over. That my child ain't coming back. Man, fuck this world, bro. But, you know, this is good, though. This is good. This is great.
There's a whole lot of Biggie Smalls murals, not a lot of profit coming out of those murals, except for one person who seemed to be making the most money, a man named Sean Diddy Combs.
Can I add something else a little bit?
Yep.
This might be something also where it was not able to clone yet. You know how they say, like, Chappelle came back. This is the clone Chappelle. Like, after he went to Africa, he all diesel, different head and everything. Maybe in the 90s, they didn't have that clone aspect yet. Now, this is crazy conspiracy shit where I'm like, hey, you know, they had to kill him. It had to be an assassination because you get more money if they're gone. Because you could just see the God fear. But hey, if we can, like, kill him and then put the clone back out there, then now we got... Can you imagine a clone Biggie? Now he's kind of skinnier. He's doing R&B. He ain't got no more stories.
You now like he's doing Slim Fast commercials and
he up there with Shaq.
To wear a helmet when you skateboard. He's
hilarious.
Weird.
He's so weird. He like Brooklyn's fine. Yeah, like do these brownstones. Let Airbnb. Hey Airbnb, I'm Biggie. And welcome to Best Buy.
Hey, I'm Biggie Smalls. Shop local.
Yep, shop
local. And eat your vegetables.
And be quiet. Oh, it's so noisy. I don't know why he's telling mom. What impression am I doing? Hey, be quiet. Like, who is that? I apologize.
That's but, clone Biggie.
Yeah, that's clone. Exactly, that's clone Biggie. So, yeah, that's something further where I think that clone aspect didn't. I don't know, man. Yeah, because
we couldn't clone Biggie, and so we had to let him die.
They had to kill him to get more money.
All right, we're going to take one more break. We'll be back with more Nori Davis and more My Mama Told Me. And we are back. Yeah, so, we're back here with more Nori Davis, more My Mama Told Me. We're still talking about that goddamn killer, Puff Daddy.
Oh, you murderer! Complete, nigga! We need James, but somebody put him in the seat, hands behind
he
your back.
He was your friend.
Come on, man.
He was his man's.
Oh, man.
Let's play a game.
Yes,
we have a very fun game. This is This is our most classic game on the podcast, my absolute favorite game. It's a game called White Lies.
Ugly, you are disgusting. I'm going to kill you. Give me $200.
White Lies. It's a fun game, Nori, where I am going to introduce to you a commonly held white conspiracy theory, a conspiracy theory that white people tend to believe in quite a bit. And what I would love for you to do is tell me why you think this conspiracy theory is so important to them. What are they up to? What are these sneaky motherfuckers up to? Mm-hmm. You get it?
Yes, sir. I'm ready.
Hell yeah. Oh, this one. Oh, boy. I can't remember if we've done this one before. I don't think we have, but it's a big one. Okay. It's a doozy. It's one of the most jarring classic conspiracy theories, I think, that's out there. Ooh. There are some people believe that the Holocaust never happened, that it is a myth. It is fake.
Oh,
why do you think, Nori, white people are so committed to the Holocaust being fake?
That is classic white supremacy of not allowing the Jews to have any type of power, just be oppressed from being in the business of America. Because like that's what supremacy is, like straight white, male, blonde, you know, Hail Hydra type shit, my nigga. Like not even type, like that's what they are. And that's why they had to kill Hitler, man, because he was like, he was fucking up American money. Like, America's like, look, I don't care about these Jews, blacks, like, let's just get this money. Hitler's like, no, everybody must die. And they're like, all right, you got to kill this nigga. And then that was World War II. But yes, it's the same thing of right now we're going through critical race theory, where they're trying to erase our history of an education. Because they fear that the white kids will get beat up by the black kids if they find out what we really have about slavery, blah, blah, blah. It's not more or less of fear of Jewish kids getting beat up or like them beating up white kids. It's more of like, you're oppressed. We want to let you not niggas know like y'all not the prophet. Y'all not the ones. So it's a...
Oh, okay. So you're not so the ones. In theory, if we allow the Holocaust to exist or if we allow slavery to be as extreme as it actually was, and the Holocaust to be as violent and horrifying as it actually was, then it does suggest that something is owed to the people who suffered that experience.
That's
and you're saying this is a way of making things more level for the white whites that want to stand supreme.
America. Yeah. And like, so if like it never happened. So what y'all talking about? No, you owe us because of Hollywood. What do you mean? I owe you nothing. What are you talking about? What books is it? It's in the book right there. 19th of world history. Man, nigga, I don't know about that book. I ain't write that book.
Right.
Who wrote that book? I'm right here standing on the Capitol Hill.
Yeah. This is what I believe.
We got the Constitution. Look in the Constitution. Where say that? Where say it? Please tell me where say it. So I don't know what y'all niggas, Jewish people, what y'all talking about. Holocaust never happened. Yeah. Slavery never happened. Fuck out of here. So it's oppression. So like that's why they hold on to it. It's control. So like the white man can still be one. Like look, our founding fathers are still four white niggas up on that rock. Like they, and that's the thing about supremacy is like, yeah, they like the ideology of like the white man being the one, but capitalism gonna cap. Capitalism is going to have to do their thing because it's still about making money the most that they can without them working.
Sure.
And being greedy. Yeah, that's the makeup of our country.
And in theory, these points of oppression and violence are going to hurt their pockets in some kind of way.
Yes.
This is not a guarantee for being able to make more money if you have to hold yourself accountable to a race or community that you've caused damage to.
Yeah. Fuck facing money. Yeah. It's like, you know, just like with companies now, like you're a racist company. It's just like, wait, no, we're not. And then like they start losing money. So then they start playing face. Like, look at us. Chase said, we're at the Pride. Look at us. Our rainbow's here. And it's just like, it's bullshit. It's fake. You know what I'm saying? Like, because they don't want to, it's just about money. Like, people forget, like, the bus boycott only worked because they was losing money. It wasn't because they cared about our skin and our face or our life or our humanity.
Yeah, they weren't getting on those buses and being like, ain't no more black people. This ain't right.
This ain't right? What we doing, man? This should be, I always love a diverse bus. I'm bus 8. All right. And I love to see Miss Charles in the back, and I tell her go to the back, and sometimes she does, she doesn't. But you know, it's color on here. Now, this is bullshit. We got to change this, Captain. No,
I'm
not at all.
All white buses.
Yeah, man. Niggas was like taking rides. They was walking for like months. And then they decided to change because they was losing. That's all this country care about. Money, bro. So if the Holocaust is real, real, which it is, but if it's like something they have to admit, Jews gonna pull up on some like, no, we want this, we want that. They gonna get it. I mean, shoot. Yeah. In Brooklyn, the Hasidic Jews got like a whole part, like damn near 30% of Brooklyn. And they got their own school bus, they own cops, and ain't nobody bothering them. So there's that. You know, has there been many black communities in one Central Park that have been? But, you know, and that's why that supremacy is holding on to that theory.
Damn.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, shit.
That's called motherfucking bars, nigga. You know nothing about that.
Oh, my God. Nigga, let me spit on my laptop. I ain't see that coming. That's bombs, nigga. Shit, Nori. Funk flex, baby.
I think we did it. I think we did the whole thing. This was a lovely time. Could you tell the people at home where they can find you? What cool shit you have going on?
Yes. Yeah. Hit me up on Instagram at Nori Davis. November 5th, I'm in Boston. And check out my latest Tonight Show appearance on YouTube with Jimmy Fallon. Check that out.
Hell yeah.
4 minutes of funk on that motherfucker. So check that out. Share that. And much love, man. Yo, Langston, I love you, bro. You know. You're the only nigga
hey,
I pull
man,
up
I love
on.
You too, dog.
You know that.
Thank you for coming through. And yeah, follow Nori. Go check out his Tonight Show appearance. Go see him live. And as always, you can follow me at Langston Kerman. And if you want to send us drops, if you want to send us your own conspiracy theories, if you just want to say hurtful things and send it to me personally, you can send it all to mymamapod@gmail.com. I read every email that gets sent, even though I don't respond to quite a few of them because they make me uncomfortable. I am still getting eyes on all those bad boys. So I would love for you to send them all. mymamapod@gmail.com. Otherwise, bye, bitch.